A reading from Paul's first letter to the Corinthians, chapter 12, verses 4 through 7. Now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of services, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who activates all of them in everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. Thanks be to God.
So as Belinda said, this is the Sunday in the church year that's known as Trinity Sunday. Last Sunday was Pentecost, and we celebrate the coming of the Holy Spirit. This Sunday, Trinity Sunday. You may wonder sometimes why I generally like to stick with the church calendar and to use scripture readings from the lectionary. We as Baptists are part of a free church tradition, which means we're free to use whatever we want for themes and scriptures. But I think I find these, the church calendar, the lectionary, are a discipline that are good for me and good for us in terms of making us not just me, not just preach on my favorite topics, and it invites all of us to come back around again and again to certain themes that are central to our faith, and to see where we are at this point in our spiritual journey and responding to those themes. So, Trinity. The idea that God is one, and yet still somehow there is this triune, Trinitarian notion, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, Creator, Christ, Holy Ghost. Many of you know, and some of you also get, I think, the blog based on the lectionary by Steve Garnas Holmes. His first blog this week. Father God, we say, as if we know just exactly what we're talking about. The ineffable, the unsearchable, the infinite, made into a specific creature, a thing, a guy, definitely, male, X chromosomes, old but not two, 60 maybe, but buff, certainly not 120 and not too many wrinkles. But white hair, what color was it before? With a face and hands, not flippers, not wings. We're pretty sure we think we know what the invisible one looks like. Pretty silly, huh? If God is infinite, he says, then God is not human. If God is spirit, there is no such thing as what God looks like. If the image of God is love, not physical appearance. The image of the Holy Trinity undermines all our images, our cartoons of gender, age, ability, and power. If God is both parent and child, and neither, then God is both male and female, and neither, both human and non-human, and neither, supreme and also crucified, and also newly alive, beyond all dualities and categories and distinctions, every little insistence that we know is a lie. The Trinity lets God be not what you think, all of the above and other all at once. God says, I'm not this or that, I am. So question your assumptions about what God has to be like. Silence, word, breath, mystery, presence, rebirth, mother, son, Holy Spirit, infinite, love, spirit. Nothing else is absolute. So Trinity, I think, is not supposed to be about locking God into our neat definitions. Trinity is supposed to be about blowing open the categories, even though the church has turned it into a creed to believe. rather than metaphors or symbols trying to capture what we cannot possibly capture. The New Testament scriptures never use the word Trinity. And there are only a very few places where we even read the traditional formula, God, Son, Holy Spirit. Those were actually the lectionary readings for a day. Matthew 28, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. 2 Corinthians 13, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. That's about it. There might be one or two other places that say that. Most of the New Testament just shows us, as in this little reading Debbie just shared, that the first Christians were trying to find ways to talk about and write about their experiences of God, wrestling with the radical notion that somehow Jesus was the Christ, a revelation of God, and that the Spirit that came into them and among them was somehow also God, but that God was also Creator, infinite, who had always, always been. God in three persons, we sing in the hymns, which makes no sense if God is not a person. Maybe it's a little closer if we say God in three personas, ways of showing up in our lives and in our world. In recent years, some theologians have been reclaiming and spreading the notion, which apparently began with 4th-century monks in Turkey, that Trinity is about relationship. The Greek word they used is perichoresis, which literally means to dance around. It means a cyclical movement. It means reciprocity and interpenetration and interchange. Trinity is about the circle dance of God, always giving, always receiving, always in the flow of love. If God is love, then how could God be only one? So somehow Trinity is a way of trying to say God is always in relationship, that relationship is at the heart of all reality. A little aside, for those of you who've done some stuff with the Enneagram or were at the workshops that I did on the Enneagram at the church retreat or women's retreat, this idea of the Trinity is captured with that triangle that's part of the Enneagram that we walked 3, 6, 9, the points on the Enneagram. Affirming force, denying force, reconciling force, which lead to a new horizon, a new arising, a new thing. Something new is always being born that is more than the parts. That's part of what Trinity tries to capture. This is about God as community, relational reality at the heart of everything, the divine web of being that is interconnecting all that is. And we are asked to join in the dance, to be part of the flow. The Spirit gives us gifts, empowers us, invites us to be part of the living, relating body of Christ, not by ourselves. Of course not. How could it be singular? It's always communal. It's community. It's all of us together, never alone, always in relationship, living into the flow of love. And so we are called to give, to share. And the more we live into the flow, the more we know the flow. Some of us, we know this in our lives, right? That the more you're able to kind of open up and just be in it, it flows through you. We don't have to create it. We don't have to make it happen. Mary Oliver, whom I love, and many of you do too, has a poem called Mysteries, Yes. Truly, we live with mysteries too marvelous to be understood. How grass can be nourishing in the mouth of the lambs, how rivers and stones are forever in allegiance with gravity while we ourselves dream of rising, How two hands touch and the bonds will never be broken. How people come from delight or the scars of damage to find the comfort of a poem. Let me keep my distance always from those who think they have the answers. Let me keep my company always with those who say, look, and laugh in astonishment and bow their heads. Let's join in the dance of God, the dance of love. Amen.